But first, Warwick Hadfield joins us with the sport. Warwick, former doping boss Dick Pound is going to join us in a moment, but the Lance Armstrong saga is now reaching all corners of the globe.
All four corners, Philip, you might say, after the ABC's preeminent current affairs program, Four Corners, took itself into this murky globe of cycling and returned with not just fresh evidence of doping, but also of attempts to fix races. And reinforcing that Four Corners of the Globe thing, these allegations reach all the way to Colac in the Western District of Victoria, which is these days the home of Phil Anderson. Le Skippy, as he was known, was the first non-European to wear the yellow jersey of the Tour de France. He was allegedly in the room when, back in 1993, Armstrong offered the New Zealand cycling cyclist Stephen Swart a bribe of $50,000. Armstrong wanted to win all three races of a series in the United States in order to claim a $1 million bonus, which he did do. Anderson says he has no memory of the incident, but a long-time believer that the allegations against Armstrong are all part of a tour poppy witch hunt. He now says that he's devastated by all the evidence of doping around Armstrong that has emerged over the past few days. And as you said, Philip, I'm sure Dick Pound will have an interesting view on all this when we speak to him a bit later this morning. In cricket, they officially launched the season in Sydney yesterday with all sorts of subtexts emerging. Not the least of these is who would be the wicketkeeper for the test this summer in New South Wales. The Sydney push is getting behind the veteran Brad Haddin in Victoria. They're pushing hard for their Aunt Sally, Matt Wade, even though he's originally from Tasmania, and the Tasmanians, well, perhaps they're the ones quietly whispering the name of Tim Payne, back from injury and keeping better than ever. Now, rather than a whisper, there's a stentorian roar of indignation coming from South Africa after the Australian selectors demanded the return of Shane Watson from the 2020 nonsense over there. He's playing for the Sydney Sixers. The manager of the Sydney Sixers, Stuart Clarke, was quickly back off his long run, saying the Cricket Australia's high-performance team doesn't give two hoots about the Champions League competition. And over here, Stewie, we're cheering them to the echo for just that. In rugby union, it's a case of good news and the bad news. A back rower, Radiki Samo, will be fit for this weekend's Bledisloe Cup game against New Zealand. However, winger Digby Ioane is out of the side because of a knee injury. And it's probably bad news, too, that even members of the Wallaby side are declaring the All Blacks, who've won their past 16 matches, are pretty much unbeatable. And in soccer, the World Gameroos, wouldn't they like to be unbeatable tomorrow when they play Iraq in a World Cup qualifying game in Doha? The Australians need to win this game to maintain genuine ambitions of qualifying automatically from their group. Interestingly, both sides are involved in the same sort of debate about whether they should be employing long-term players who've served them well in the past or introducing new talent. The Iraqis are coached by the Brazilian legend Zico, and he's been criticised for relying on players who won the Asian Cup back in 2007. He's been resting some of those senior players in recent times, so it might be a time for Australia to bring in some new ones, although one of their veterans, Mark Swartzer, he's had a swipe at all his teammates, particularly after the 2-1 loss to Jordan. He's told them to wake up to themselves, and the coach, Holger Osik, has called on another veteran, the skipper, Lucas Neal, to show some leadership tomorrow. I'll be back with more sport then, Philip.